Please take your Bible and turn to the book of Daniel this morning, Daniel chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse number 16. Daniel chapter 3, we're going to begin reading at verse number 16 this morning. Please stand, if you would, and we'll honor the reading of God's word this morning. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Key verse here this morning, verse number 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. With God's help this morning, I want to preach on this subject, a great statement of faith. And whether you realize it or not this morning, what we have just read in this Bible is a great statement of faith. Not what the world tells you what true faith is and these phony baloney TV evangelists, but what the King James Bible says true faith is. I'm going to prove that to you conclusively this morning and ask ourselves, do we have this same type of faith? Brother Jonathan, would you pray for this message and then everybody can be seated. Please. Amen. Please. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, most of you here today are familiar with the story of the three Hebrew children. And we read in the Bible where Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king of Babylon at that time, he had a great golden image built. And he made that great golden image. He had it built. And then he commanded that all the people bow down and worship the image when the band started up. This is what he said. He said, fellas, go back there and get that Lynyrd Skynyrd CD out. And when they hit that first riff of Sweet Home Alabama, everybody hit the ground. That's the updated version. It's just as good as all this other junk they're putting out. Amen. Trying to make it where you can understand. Know what I mean? It's all right to laugh at stuff like that. It's okay. Everybody's like, I don't know. I don't think Lynyrd Skynyrd was there. They certainly wouldn't have been playing Sweet Home Alabama. I think they would have played Freebird or something. Everybody just relax. You okay? Amen. The three Hebrew children refused to bow to the image. They refused to bow to the image. And then King Nebuchadnezzar gives them one more chance. He gives them one more chance. And that's when we come to our text this morning. Now these boys here, these three young boys, they give a great response, a great statement of faith. Now before we look at their statement of faith this morning, I want to do this. I want us to understand a few things about faith. What is real faith? And when I talk about real faith this morning, please understand this. I'm not referring to this Benny Hinn baloney or faith in your word or in your faith garbage. Amen? That's not what I'm talking about. It's not health. It's not wealth and prosperity junk. It isn't a man who loses his arm in the factory and he comes to the Benny Hinn crusade and then he grows a third arm or something like that. But we're not talking about all that mess. We're talking about real biblical, true, factual faith that you find in the King James Bible. Now I want to give you a few things about faith here this morning before we get started. First of all, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1 gives you the definition of faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's something that you hope for, but it's not a hope like maybe so. It's a no so, but I can't see it. But there's evidence there. We have evidence through creation. We have evidence in the King James Bible through the Holy Spirit. There's evidence in it. It's not blind faith, but it is faith. It's hope and belief in something that that's not tangible necessarily. Something we can't necessarily touch, but we believe it's there. I've never seen my Savior, but I believe He died for me. I believe He shed His blood for me and He rose from the ground. And I believe one day He's coming to get me. That's faith. So that's the definition of faith. Now, about five things about faith you need to understand before we move on into the message. Number one, you and I are saved by faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You and I are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by doing things. We're not saved by being good. We're all bad. We're saved by grace, but it's through faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ did. So we're saved by faith. You need to get that down. Next thing is in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." So not only am I saved by faith, I'm to live by faith. Faith just doesn't stop when I get saved. It's to continue with me as I live the Christian life. You understand that? I don't just get saved by faith, I walk by faith. I'm not looking for signs and wonders, okay? I'm looking in the King James Bible to show me what's right and wrong, not some kind of manifestation at the foot of the bed. That wasn't an angel you saw. That's you ate pepperoni pizza too late. All you need is not a vision, not some kind of somebody coming in the middle of the night and saying, "This is what you need to do," or "God told me to tell you." God told you what to do in this book. So we get saved by faith. We live the Christian life by faith. Listen, the Bible tells us that if you don't have faith, no matter what you do, you and I cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we can't please God without faith. How about that? Amen. That means it doesn't matter what I do or how good I try to be. I cannot please God if I don't have faith. Romans 14:23, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So if I don't have faith, I'm actually sinning. It doesn't matter what I do, faith should be involved in it. So that's pretty important, isn't it? And then Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I get faith by the word of God. When I read the word of God, when I feast on the word of God, that's how I increase my faith. So that's some important things about faith, isn't it? I get saved by faith. I'm to live by faith. I can't please God without faith. If I do stuff without faith, it's sin. And when I read this Bible and let it minister to me and believe it, that's how I increase my faith. God wants us to have faith, doesn't he? I mean, if we're saved by faith, we're to live by faith. We can only please him with faith. Faith must be pretty important to God. And then we get to this story here this morning, the three Hebrew children. I want you to see three things about their faith in this passage this morning. Number one, the Bible says their faith was fixed. If you look at it, look there in verse number 16. It says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." You know what they're saying? They're saying, we're not apprehensive. We're not nervous about it. We've got our minds made up. We've got our minds made up what we're going to answer you. The psalmist said in Psalm 57:7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Is your heart fixed this morning about what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? About what you believe this Bible says about God and eternity? You need to be fixed. Listen, you need to already have your faith fixed on the Lord before trouble shows up in your life. Amen. It's always good to go into trouble, always having my faith and confidence in God beforehand, rather than trying to get a hold of God when the trial starts. I don't ever know when I'm going to get that phone call, you know it? I don't ever know when the bottom's going to drop out. I don't ever know when a problem's going to happen. I don't ever know when a tragedy's going to happen in my life. It could happen anytime. It's always better that that tragedy doesn't catch me unaware, where my fellowship's not right with God, where I'm trying to get a hold of God. I'm trying to find him in the tragedy. And thank God many times you can find him, and a lot of people do not actually find God until something bad comes up. But I don't know about you, but when I do get that phone call, I do have that problem, I do have that bad news, I want to have already been walking with him, Brother Sonny. If that transition from everything's okay to that back down in the valley would be much smoother if I'm already in fellowship with the Savior and I'm not trying to find him. Their mind was made up way before the furnace ever showed up in their life. He said, we're not careful. We're not nervous. We're not struggling. We're not trying to find a way out of this. We're just going to tell you straight up, King Nebuchadnezzar, this is how it's going to be. We are fixed. My faith is fixed. And this is how we're going to respond to this situation. God help us to be like that. God help us to have our faith fixed. Number two, their faith was factual, and that's important. Notice there in verse number 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now their faith was in the one true God. It was in a fact. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. Not in tradition. How about that? Not in a denomination. Not positive thinking. Not our own intellect. But in the one true God. Listen to me. Faith, I don't care how much faith you have, it's got to be in a fact. I can have all the faith in the world that I'm going to leave here in a moment and I'm going to jump over this church. Ain't going to do me a bit of good. I can't even jump over a brick. I'm certainly not going to jump over. Oh, if you just put your mind to it. See, we tell our kids that. If you'll just put your mind to it, you can do anything you want to do. Is that right? Don't lie to your youngins like that. You put your mind to it, you can be a nuclear physicist. I know you barely got out of third grade, but if you put your mind to it, you're lying to them. You can't do it. How about that? You can't do anything you want to. I know you can't walk and chew bubblegum at the same time, but you can play in the NBA one day if you just put your mind to it. No, you can't. It's faith in a fact. That's what makes faith good. Dr. Ruttman's got an old sermon he preached years ago. And he does a chalk talk with it. And that chalk talk is a faith, fact, feeling. And it comes in that order. Listen, I have to have my faith in a fact, and then I can get the feeling on down the road. But the feeling ain't about my faith. And you know, sometimes we get it messed up. We got to have something. It's got to strike us just right. We got to have some kind of great feeling. No. I see a fact. I put my faith in that fact. And then if I walk long enough somewhere down the road, then I'll get the feeling. I don't seek the feeling first. I just want some kind of great thing to happen. I just want to get goosebumps. Well, you might get them and you might not. That's not what you're looking for. You're putting your faith in a fact, and somewhere down the line, thank God, you'll get the feeling. But it's not just having faith. It's not just having faith in your faith in your faith. You heard that now, but people say, have faith in your word and have faith in what you speak. And I just speak life over you. I just speak faith over you. All that kind of stuff. I don't care what you speak over somebody if it's not backed by that book.
Amen.
And you can tell your preacher I said that. Listen, folks. Listen. Faith only works if it's faith in a fact. How do you find out what are the facts? In a King James Bible.
Amen, brother.
Now, listen, they had faith in a fact. What was their fact? That Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians had their own gods. That they may be in control at that time. He may have the fiery furnace lit up. He may have all the guards around them. It may have been them three little Hebrew children. And they had all this Gentile power around them. But at the end of the day, their God was not the true God. And those boys' God was the true God. That's the fact.
Amen.
That was the fact. It was faith in a fact. We have a fact. That Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The fact is, nobody's going to heaven outside of him. And the fact is, he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. In 3 days, he rose from the dead. The fact is, he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And one day, he's coming back. That's a fact.
Amen,
that's a fact, Jack. And you put your faith in a fact, and something's going to happen one day. The trumpet's going to sound, and I'm going up with him. If I die before he comes back, hallelujah, he's bringing me out of the ground.
Amen.
That's faith in a fact. What's going to get you through a time like these boys were in? Faith in a fact. There's not many facts that's going to hold true throughout a trouble. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to tell you that in a moment. That's going to be the main point of this message. Why this was such a great statement of faith. At the end of the day, in every circumstance we go through in life, the ones you're going through right now, and the ones we will go through, at the end of the day, every day, God gets the final say. Whether to help you or not. And you have the final say in whether you would trust him or not. Regardless if he helps you or not. You see that? It's easy to have faith when you, oh, he's going to do it, 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 he's going to do it. I just know he's going to do it. What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't do it? It takes more faith in that situation than it does thinking, well, just all I got to do is ask and it's just going to come to pass. Boom. That takes no faith. It takes faith to trust God when he may not answer the thing like we want him to. That's a great statement of faith. You can fix and find one. So that the faith, listen, the faith was firm. I mean, the faith was factual there. It was fixed. It was factual. But the faith is firm. Notice what they say there in verse number 18. But if not. Remember, he just told you in verse number 17. They said, we believe God's going to deliver us from this burning furnace. Now, here's the most important part of the message. Get a hold of it. Here we go. They said, we believe he's going to deliver us from this furnace. But if not, you see that?
Amen.
You know what they're saying? They're saying this. We believe he's going to do it, but he may not, because he makes the final choice whether to burn us up or not. That's true faith. Faith is saying, I know who's got the thing in his hands. I believe he's going to work it out this way, but I don't know because he gets the final say in my life in all matters. And they say this. They say, we believe he's going to deliver us. But I'm telling you something right now, Nebuchadnezzar. If he doesn't, we are not going to bow down to that image. How about that? We're going to trust him and we're going to die for him. You know what they said? They said, we're not going to bend. We're not going to bow. And when you play the music, we're not going to boogie. And bless God, they didn't burn. True faith is trusting. Here we go. True faith. A great statement of faith. That's trusting that God is right, even if he doesn't answer our prayer the way we want him to. That's a statement of great faith. You know what they said? They said, we're totally dependent on God in this situation. We believe he's going to deliver us from this fire. If he doesn't, we'll burn up, and he's right anyway. That's faith. Not this silly charismatic stuff like I'm going to have $1 million and I'm going to plant my seed and I'm never going to get sick and everything's going to be fine. There's not going to be any problems. And that's nonsense. That's not in a Bible. That's a man trying to sucker you out of your money. That's what that is. You want to know about what is a great statement of faith? What is real faith in a real God? What them boys said there. They said, I just believe our God's going to fix this thing somehow or another. But let me tell you something. Suppose he doesn't. Suppose he stands right there and lets you bind us up and throw us in there and just burn us up. He's still right. We're not going to bow, and we're going to trust him through it all. That's a great statement of faith. If he doesn't pay the bill, I'm still going to trust him. If he doesn't heal the cancer, I'm still going to trust him. If he doesn't fix the marriage, I'm still going to trust him. If he doesn't heal the child, I'm going to trust him. If I don't get the job, I'm going to trust him. If my ministry never gets off the ground, I'm going to trust him. If the surgery goes wrong, I'm going to trust him. Now see, I'm describing to you what real faith is. Amen. Real faith is, well, if I just ask, just Jesus to just pour it all out. That's no faith. That's hogwash. You know what real faith is? Real faith. A great statement of faith is, God, if you don't fix a thing in my life, you're still right and I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get out. I'm going to stay in. I'm going to walk with you and love you and trust you just as much as I always have.
Amen.
Regardless of what you do in my life, you're right. That's a great, great statement of faith. And you read in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 2, turn there, just one passage I want you to turn there this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21. This is a great passage. I believe this is the greatest passage in the Bible that teaches a Christian how he is to respond to suffering, how he is to respond to persecution. I believe it's a great passage. But one part I want you to really pay attention to that really goes along with this message this morning. This is an incredible scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, he certainly did, leaving us an example. Now watch this. He's going to give you an example of how to go through suffering based on what Christ did. This is the way Christ experienced suffering. This is the way he faced suffering, so he leaves an example for us to face suffering. That you should follow his steps. Here's his step. Number one, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't run his mouth and he didn't sin at those that were sinning against him. That's a pretty good way to face suffering and persecution, isn't it? Number two, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. So when they reviled him, he didn't give it back to them. Well, you do to me like that, I'm going to do you like that. No, he didn't do that. It says, when he suffered, he threatened not. He didn't threaten them. We sing that song. It's a beautiful song. He could have called 10,000 angels. I love that song, but really it's not that scriptural. He didn't need one angel. He could have come down off that cross and whipped everybody. But the Bible says when he suffered, he did not threaten them back. Now, why did he not revile? Why, when he suffered, he didn't threaten back? Why did he act like that? You find it, listen, this is the key to it. This is the key to this message this morning. You find it in the last part of that verse. You've got to get a hold of this morning. Last part of that verse. Notice what he said. But this is what Christ did do. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He said, if this is the will of God for me to die and to take on this and mar my body with the sins of the world, I'm committed to God even though I don't want this. He said, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass from me, God. But if it's the perfect will of God, this may not be what I want. This may not be what I desire. But I know that God judgeth righteously, and I'm just committing it to him. Do you see that? That is how Christ got through the cross. And that's how we're going to bear our cross.
Amen.
We're not going to understand it. It ain't going to look right. It's going to be painful. It's going to be suffering. But we got to say, God, you know more about it than I do. Amen. You're righteous. Many times I'm unrighteous. You're right. Many times I'm wrong. I'm going to do like Christ. This is a great statement of faith. Just like those three Hebrew children. Do like Christ. I'm committing to you because you know what's best. You've never made a mistake. Whatever you do, heal me, not heal me. Fix it, not fix it. Restore me, not restore me. Help me or not help me. You're right, and I'm not going to quit trusting you.
Amen.
If you don't do it like I want you to do it. That's the message.
Good.
Well, thank God, though, this story does have a happy ending. Nebuchadnezzar heats the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. The Bible says they're thrown in with their coats, their hats, and their hose. A little extra fuel to start the fire, I guess, to burn it up quicker. The Bible says the men that throw them in that fire, the fire's so hot it burns them up and kills them. But not the three Hebrew children. Oh, the Bible also records, whoop, this is good. That when the king looks in there, he says, hey, what? Come here now, I just want to make sure my head's all right. I've been sleeping as well at night. And how many's in that fire? I thought we just put 3 in there. We did. Ain't there somebody else in there? Yeah. Boss, you better take a better look at this fella. He ain't like them other 3. That's the Son of God in there.
Amen.
Now, you know what? Somebody ought to shout.
Amen.
I ain't much for agging you on. That ain't my style, but this would be a good place to shout if you want to.
That's right.
Amen. Listen. He didn't keep them from the fire. He's not going to keep you from the fire.
Right.
He may even let you burn up. But he'll either be in that fire with you and pull you out, or he'll burn up with you, because they're not going to burn Christ up.
That's right.
You know what I believe? If he would have let them boys burn up, I believe Christ would have been in that thing anyway. Now, I know people say folks can't die in Christ's presence and all, but this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ before he goes to the cross. You know what I believe? Sometimes when you're going through stuff like that, and I've seen good Christian people die. If they would throw them boys in that fire and it being God's perfect will for them to burn up, I believe that fourth man, Jesus Christ, would have walked in there and said, "I got it, boys. I got it. It's fixing to be over. No, I'm not going to answer your prayer maybe the way you want. I'm going to let you burn up. That's all right. You fixing to burn up, and you'll be in my presence. Everything will be all right." Christ may let you burn up. Every story don't end like this one. But regardless of how the story ends, the hero is always right. And the hero is Christ. You see it? Don't talk to me about some kind of great faith you have because you've seen God work things out. I have a lot more faith in God because I've seen him work things out in my life, but that ain't where it is. You want to give me a great statement of faith? Send up and testify and say, "Brother Dennis, I prayed for so-and-so 20 or 30 years, and I prayed, and I trusted God, and I did what he told me to do, and it didn't work out, and he didn't answer my prayer, and it all fell to pieces. But I want you to know I love him anyway."
Amen.
I want you to know I'm trusting him anyway. I want you to know that I believe he doeth all things well. Hallelujah. It ain't fazed me a bit. I'm just as committed to him now as I've ever been.
Amen. Good.
That's a great testimony of faith. That's when you know you got something real, brother.
Amen.
Our great statement of faith can influence others. Remember what King Nebuchadnezzar says when he gets them boys out? He says, "Hey, man, all nations are going to worship the one true God, the God of these boys." And we'll influence others with that same kind of faith in God. When they see you and I go through stuff with confidence and resolve and complete trust in the Lord, even though things look bad, it will do something for them. I want to end by quoting some lyrics to you from a song. A few years ago, there's a group called Mercy Me that came out with a song. I know some of you Bible believers probably don't listen to Mercy Me. It means nothing to me one way or the other. I like it. Amen. Mercy Me came out with a song about 3 years ago. The title of that song is Even If. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because you won't admit it, but I've listened to it several times and like it. I like it. This is some of the words from that song. I believe it would describe it best. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. Now that is a great statement of faith.
Amen.
Every head bowed and eye closed. Every head bowed and eye closed.